My study this morning is on the topic, the unknown women of renown in Christ's life. The unknown women of renown in Christ's life. Now this, as I pointed out earlier in my preliminary remarks, was inspired from the study in Romans that you are doing now. In Romans chapter 16, you'll find a list of people, some of them known, some of them unknown, but most of them unknown, and among them, women. Chapter 16, verse 1, Phoebe, our sister, well, she was unknown until brought out in this letter, and she became very well known. After that, there's Priscilla and Aquila, there's Mary, we do not know who she was at that time, Andronicus and Junior. Then we have Tryphena and Tryphosa, and Persis in chapter 16, verse 12, 16, 13. We have the mother of Rufus there as well. Again, we do not know who Rufus was. We do not know who his mother was, but they played a very important part in the hospitality to extended to Christians at that time. In chapter 16, verse 15, we have Philologus and Julia. Again, these were people we did not know. They were unknown, but as far as they were unknown, they were very well known to the Lord, because they performed a tremendous ministry unto the Lord, although much of it would be unknown to most people. So, my series, or the topic for this series, is the unknown and yet well-known women in the life of Christ. What do I mean by that? It is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let me give you the context. If you get to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, then you will read what I'm referring to. Firstly, there was this appeal by Paul to the Christians in Corinth to work together. He said, toil together. Now, you know, in a local church, it's very difficult to work together. There would be different personalities, and there would be different ideologies, different ideas, different ways of doing things. Very difficult together. Paul said, now, let us go work together. And especially so when in the church in Corinth, there was this group of Jewish Christians. Jews who had become Christians, who wanted the Gentile Christian to follow the Jewish ways, and so on. And Paul says, now look, let's all come together and work together for the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of people unknown. We are all the ministers of God, remember, and we work together with Him. So I want you all in the church, Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, you work together. Those who are rich, those who are poor, work together. Those who are well educated, those who are not so well educated, work together. The men and the women work together. Work together, and together, all of us work with God. That's what we must do. And to do that, to work together, the work together there comes from a word, to toil. It's not a matter of toleration, it's to toil, to really strive hard to work together. Okay, so that is the basis for Paul writing 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So, that was an appeal for appreciation. Now, in chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is this verse suddenly inserted into this passage? This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 49 verse 8, where again Isaiah appealed to the people, especially the Jews, to go out and reach out with the message of salvation. One day the time will come when you will go out and preach the message of salvation to the Gentiles. The day of salvation will be there. And Paul now says, in application of this prophecy to his time, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because Jesus Christ had come. And now all of us, Gentiles and Jews, must come together to go out and reach out to the people who were yet sinners. Now, in doing so, Paul warned them, you know, to serve in the ministry of God's of God would not be easy. Now, our brother Boon Leong, now you know, is serving the Lord in a very wide sphere. I'm very sure he encounters a lot of problems, conflicts, and Paul warned about them. And Paul said, whatever happens, while you may encounter all these conflicts, do not discredit the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Look, as God's ministers, you will need great endurance, underlying a possible of 9 conflicts that may come upon you. You will come across affliction, hardship, difficulties, beatings even, imprisonments even, riots, labors, sleepless nights, times of hunger. 9 possible conflicts that will come upon you. But endure. Endure to the end. Do not bring shame to the ministry of God's work. Live up to the grace and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. Again, you see the ninefold character. These ninefold attributes must characterize you as you seek to serve the Lord. What are they? By purity, be pure. By knowledge, know the word. By patience, be patient with various people who will come across you. You will meet all sorts of people. By kindness, be kind to them. And manifest the gifts and the graces of the Holy Spirit. Show your sincere love for them by the message of truth, by the power of God, through put on the whole armor of God, in other words, that you may be able to withstand the devil, because the devil, as the roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you being the minister of God, you will certainly be devoured. Therefore, beware. So, beware of these conflicts. Show how to counter them by your character of the Holy Spirit's gifts and grace. First, 8 and 9, and this is the important text that we are going to concentrate. Paul now tells them about the 9 contrasts in his life. He tells them of his own testimony, the 9 paradoxes. What is a paradox? A paradox is a statement which contains 2 items, and both items are correct and true, although they seem to contradict one another. Paul says, you sometimes you get honor, sometimes you dishonor. Those of you who are serving in the ministry of the Lord will know, sometimes there are people who will say things behind your back, dishonor. And there are those who will praise you, honor. There will be dishonor and honor. There will be evil report and good report. There will be deceivers and yet some true ones. Unknown and yet well known. That's our text. Dying sometimes, but we live. Chastened, persecuted, not killed. Sorrowful, always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. And that's important. Having nothing sometimes, yet possessing all things. Now, all these are paradoxes. Among them, I'm taking out one. Unknown and yet well known. Are you prepared to be there? You know, sometimes we fight for name. We fight for to be known. We fight for popularity. Are you prepared to serve in an area which is unknown, but nevertheless, it is a ministry unto the Lord. Are you prepared to serve in the local church in an unknown sphere where people do not see, but you work behind the scenes? Are you prepared to do that? Known, unknown to many people, to the public eye, but yet known unto the Lord. And the Lord will bless you for that. Okay, so our topic, our series for today and next week will be unknown and yet well known. And we will apply this text especially to women. My concentration this morning is on women, the sisters in the assembly, the unknown women who serve Jesus well. Now, I'm quite sure that this study has not been made by anybody. The women in the life of Christ. The women in the life of Christ. It's taken from Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. Then next week, hopefully we have time, we'll deal with a named woman who served Jesus at the well. This is a very familiar story, you know very well. And if we have time, I don't think we have, from my experience, we shall study also the unseemly woman who served Jesus by wiping his feet. So, whatever it is, let us go to our first study, the unknown women. But in case some be mistaken, say, oh, there are these women who always serve the Lord, unknown and yet well known to him. Did the Lord appreciate that? Let me, before I touch on that topic, just introduce to you very quickly the unnoticed women that Jesus ministered to. Jesus did not only minister to people known, but also to unknown. For example, he healed Peter's mother-in-law when he met her in Peter's house. Do we know the name of Peter's mother-in-law? No, we don't know. But the Lord knew her, and she had a need. The Lord healed her. The woman with a 12-year menstrual disorder who touched Jesus' garment and who was healed. Who was she? We don't know. There was the daughter of Jairus, 12 years old, and she was nearly sick to death, and the father appealed to the Lord to come and help. The Lord was going on the way, and then news came that she had died. But still, the Lord could heal her from afar, and she was healed, and she was raised up. And on the way, while she was going to see her, the widow of Nain came out with her son dead, and the Lord again raised him up. And so we find the Lord ministered to these women. We do not know who they are. There was this woman, 18 years, suffering, bent double. She could hardly walk straight, and she was straightened up by the Lord. There was the woman, who was exercised of demons, like Mary Magdalene and so on. More about them later on. So these were women to whom the Lord himself ministered. Who were they? We don't know. But more importantly for our study this morning is to bring to our attention the women who are unknown to us but known to the Lord. And they minister to the Lord in many, many ways. Right. I was beginning our study now. The unknown women who serve Jesus well. Now, where do we get our text for that? Mark chapter 15. Verses 14, 41. There were also women looking on afar off, that was at the scene of the cross, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. There were three groups of women. Two of them unknown, one of them known. There were those who followed Jesus from Galilee right to Jerusalem, one group. There were those who were named, as we see these people listed in our text. And there were many other women who joined in the Passover and came to Jerusalem. These were the women. Who were they? We do not know. Their unknown, but somehow the Lord recognized them, the Spirit recognized them, and they are found in the word of the Lord. They are unknown women, women not named, nevertheless recognized for their ministry to the Lord. Lovely women. They were not fighting for name. They were not fighting for recognition. In fact, they were so good, I dare not even use the word women for them. I would like to call them dames. Real themselves, so to speak. Very good in their character, very good in their service. They were dames, devoted dames, dedicated to the Lord's service. The unknown and unnamed women in scripture mentioned in their ministry for the Lord. This is the focus of our study now. One, who were they? They were the women who served the Lord from the commencement of his public ministry. We read in Mark chapter 15:41, there were also women who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him. When the Lord started his ministry in Galilee, they were there. Jesus was known as the man of Nazareth. He began his ministry with his baptism in River Jordan. Now, Nazareth will be here. The Lord took the trouble to travel nearly 20 miles to River Jordan to be baptized. And that shows how important baptism was. And that shows how important water baptism was. Because there will be no water there. But he traveled all those miles in order to be baptized. And as we heard this morning, John the Baptist saw him. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so we find he came to River Jordan to be baptized. When I was visiting Israel, I also went there. I traveled more than 20 miles. I traveled hundreds of thousands of miles from Penang to River Jordan. But not to be baptized. Not to be baptized, because I was already baptized. Alright? And I was not prepared to spend the 10 ringgit at that time. It was very high in cost to just be baptized. Okay. So, Jesus started his ministry in Galilee. Where was the place? Right. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, they were there. Who were they? We do not know. They were not named. But certain women were there, and many others which ministered unto him. Ladies, when you serve the Lord, and you're not recognized by the church perhaps, or by the Christians perhaps, or by the leaders perhaps, it does not matter. The Lord recognizes you. The Lord recognizes you. Let's see what happened, actually. The Lord was in Nazareth, and then he grew up in Capernaum. He grew up in Capernaum. And in Capernaum, he started his ministry. And as he traveled right from Capernaum through Galilee, right down to Judea and right to Jerusalem, who were there? Certain women were there. The certain women were there. They ministered unto him. They followed him from the very commencement of his ministry to the very conclusion of his ministry. As he continued on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem were there. Mark 15:41. Commencement, ministry at Capernaum, they were there. As he walked down to Judea, to Jerusalem, they were there. The women were witnesses of his miracles. As he came down to Jerusalem, on the way, he worked many miracles. And I will just sing out two of them because they are so famous. There was first the feeding of the 5,000. And it's recorded in Matthew 14:21-20. There were 5,000 men and women. Many times we would just say refer to this miracle as the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Perhaps only men, but that's not true. 5,000 were only the 5,000 men and women. There were more than 5,000 who experienced this miracle, because there were the women. The women were there. Another time, don't mistake the two. There was another feeding of a multitude. This time, 4,000 men and women. And women. Matthew 15, 38, 37. And women. The women were there. They were not named. Who were they? But they were there. The Lord ministered to them as well. But they were specially singled out. And women, apart from the men who received the blessing. The women who followed him and ministered unto him. Who were they? They were witnesses, and they ministered unto him. Mark 14, 41. They ministered to Jesus in the mundane duties while he performed his miracles. Now, what were they doing actually? These women following Jesus. Well, may I suggest to you certain things in the way that they ministered to him. They could have helped him in the common chores, as providing meals. The Lord must eat. The Lord just could not say to the stone, "Hey, stone, turn into bread and I'll eat the bread." The Lord could not go to the rock and kick the rock and say, "Water, come out," and when he was thirsty. He could not do all this. He would not do all this. The women ministered to him. The women saw the need. The women ministered to him. Taking care of his clothes, the Lord had to walk all the way in the hot sun, all wet. When we were in Israel, walking down to the various places in the wilderness, all were so hot, so hot. The Lord's dress would have been wet. Who washed them? The women. I would suggest the women. After all, we have records of these women washing the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord was lonely, he needed somebody to talk to. Who were there? The women. Oh dear sisters, know your important role. Never mind if people do not recognize you. Never mind if you are not famous. The Lord recognizes you. They were also those who had been exorcised of evil spirits. For example, Mary Magdalene and many others whose bodies had been drained out of the spirit, evil spirits. They now served him in gratitude for what he had done for them. They who served with a private substance. Please note, it says there, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Their money. Dear sisters, your money that one sent. Remember the widow's mite? The widow's mite was more precious than the riches of the rich man that was mentioned in the Bible. The widow's mite was very, very precious. And your little mite, the money that you give to the Lord's work, to the Lord's servant, the Lord's missions, the little money that you spend, that money is very precious to the Lord. Continue to do so. They minister unto the Lord of their substance, whatever they have. Their companions of known mothers who also ministered to them. I want you to note, who were there? Joanna, the wife of Chusas Herod, Agrippa's steward. The wife of Chusas Herod. The wife was there. That means she was a mother. She was a mother. The mother was there. Joanna was a woman whose husband had high position. And it does not mean that just because your husband has posed a high position, you are too sophisticated to come down to serve and to minister. No. Here was a steward of Agrippa. She was the wife of a steward, and she came down and she served the Lord. Mary, the mother of James, the less and of Joseph, she was there. Salome, the mother of Zebedee's children, she was there. Mothers were there. Last month was Mother's Day. I only wish I was here then, Mother's Day, but I'll be here for Father's Day. But Mother's Day, all mothers, you are needed. You have a fantastic role to play. Mothers, they were there. They were. Many mothers would not be there because, oh, I've got to care of my children. I've got to take my care of my husband. My husband's worse than a child. And so on. And you will not be at the meeting. You will not be at the Lord's Supper. But they were there. They were there to work, to worship the Lord. The women at the conclusion of Christ's ministry at the cross. They were there commencement. They were there and they continued with the Lord in His ministry from Capernaum right down to Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, they were there. The women who followed Him to the cross wept and wailed for Him. They were at the cross even, looking up at the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for them. They were there. There followed Him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed. Oh, they were very, very sad. They bewailed. What is the meaning of bewail? It is to strike your breast and then to cry out. Why? They were there when they saw Jesus crowned with a crown of thorns. They were there when they saw Jesus scourged with whip, 40 thorns and with the metals going right into His flesh and pulling the flesh out. They were there when the people were making, the soldiers were making fun of Him. They were there. And when then they saw the Lord in all His weakness being pulled along with a cross on His shoulders, marching towards Calvary. They were there. They saw Him. They cried out. They cried out. Remember this. This morning we were singing, "Lead me to Calvary." How does it sound to you when you ask the Lord, "Lead me to Calvary"? Lest I forget Gethsemane. How does it speak to you? Just a mere song singing, "Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane." Nothing more, nothing less. Hearts not touched, thoughts not touched. Or are you touched? The Lord, they were there. They lamented. They were wailing, crying, weeping loudly. These women were very broken up when they saw the battered body of Christ being taken to Calvary. They were very sad. They were very attached to the Lord and they ministered to the Lord. The women who watched from far. These women at the cross, they watched Jesus dying from far. They watched what was happening to their Lord from afar off. And the women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now, it's not because they were afraid. No. They were discreet to watch the scene from a distance. They watched afar off because women were not allowed to go near. So they watched. They were very discreet. They were not afraid so that they could run away. No. They were discreet. And they were loyal to the Lord. They were not like Peter. Peter, who when he walked, saw the Lord betrayed, he denied the Lord 3 times. He ran away. They were not like the publican. The publican also stood afar off. But he stood afar off in order that he might confess his unworthiness. "Lord, Thou art worthy. I am unworthy. I dare not go near the cross. I have got to watch afar off. Be merciful unto me, a sinner," he cried. That There were also the named women at the cross, apart from these unknown women. Mary, the mother of James and John, she was there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there. She was there at the cross. And we hear these precious words from the Lord. Some of you, reading those words, might not know the significance of what the Lord said when he was on the cross, when he saw his mother. He addressed his mother, woman. The Lord used addressed the mother only twice in the scriptures. First time, he said, woman, behold thy son. Second time, sorry. Woman, behold thy son. Was he very rude to call his own mother woman? Then in John chapter 2, remember the first miracle that he performed. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? When she told him to provide wine for the guests who were running short of wine in the wedding feast at Cana. Was he rude? Do you realize that in the scriptures, the Lord never addressed the mother as mother? He never addressed Mary as a mother. And today we find a lot of groups calling him the Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was never the mother of Jesus. Mary gave birth to Jesus as a vehicle, but she was never a mother of Jesus. And the Lord himself said, when he saw his mother waiting for him, he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and my sisters? They are those who do the will of God. They are my mother, my brother, and my sister. He did not use father because God is his father. He never used his mother because his Mary was not the real mother of Jesus. Woman, it was a tender word of respect and of love. Woman. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons, was there. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was there. Salome was present at the crucifixion. All these women were there. They were named. They were named. So, they were faithful to the very last. They were there when the Lord Jesus Christ died. The disciples forsook him. We read Matthew 26:56. After all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him, fled. They ran away. What did they say earlier? Peter, what did you say? Peter told the Lord, even if everyone runs away because of you, I will never run away. Never run away. You fled. The disciples, when they heard Peter saying, even if I have to die with you, Peter told him, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. And all the disciples fled. All the disciples fled. They fled. They disappeared. They disappeared from the scene totally. The women, they were there. Unknown and not named, but recognized after Jesus' resurrection. After Jesus had risen from the dead, Jesus appeared to the women. The women were the last witnesses at the tomb. And the women beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. The disciples had run away, but they were there to the very end until his body was laid in the sepulchre. They were observing. They returned home and prepared spices and ointments because it was Sabbath time. So they had to go back. They could not work and rested on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to notice this. They rested on the Sabbath day. They realized the importance of the Sabbath day. The Lord had commanded that thou shalt not work on the Sabbath day, and they rested. They were obedient. The Lord had desired that all of us should come together on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, are we here to remember the Lord? Do we make it special effort? Much as the women wanted to be at the tomb to see the Lord Jesus, but because it was Sabbath day, they had got to rest. They rested. In spite of their wanting to get the spices to anoint Jesus, they did not go because it was Sabbath day. Sunday is Sabbath day. How is your relationship with the Lord's Day? Do you make an effort to come to the Lord's Supper at the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day? Do you? Or as a slightest excuse, you just stay away. Just stay away. So, the women were the last witnesses at the tomb. The women were the first witnesses of the empty tomb. We read Luke 24, 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, they came, bringing the spices which they had prepared. The privileges given to the women, look and see what happened. What did the Lord do after his resurrection? One, they were the first to discover the empty tomb. The women were the first to discover. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They were the first to discover the empty tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They were the first to receive the news of Jesus' resurrection. Mark 16, verses 5 and 6. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long robe, white raiment, and they were all affrighted. They were the first. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. They were the first to know of Jesus' resurrection. They were the first to declare the Lord's resurrection to the other disciples. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before. Please note that the angel's instruction. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. From very young, I like this verse very much. Mark 16:7. And Peter. Because I like to substitute my name there. That go and tell the others. And King James. Because the Lord knows me. The Lord treasures me. And those times when I have failed him, he will remember me. He will take me up and he will say, come back. Come back. Remember this morning, he says the same thing. Go and tell the disciples and you, and you, and you. Your name is mentioned. Although unknown, yet well known. It was Mary Magdalene and other Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told those things unto the apostles. The women were there. So, the first witness of the women was dependable. That what the women told them was indeed very true. Very true. Because in Jewish custom, women's testimony could not be relied upon. Now, it was to a woman that the Lord first revealed himself after his resurrection. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Not to Peter, not to any other man, but to a woman. The woman was known. Unknown beginning, unknown to others, but known to the Lord. These women were unknown to all of us. These women that we mentioned just now. Always mentioned. Women, women, women. Certain women. Unknown to all of us. But known and renowned to our Lord. Well known to him. So, in the end, as I finish and as I conclude this message, I want to say this one thing. Oh, dearly beloved sister in Christ, addressed to all of the sisters who are here in this assembly. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you do, remember this. We treasure you. Your sister, we treasure you. Be you a wife, be you a mother, be you a young girl, we treasure you. We love you. We love you. And continue to serve the Lord. You look at the women here. How many are men in this assembly? Women. You are the one who remained faithful. And there are women here who were with me when I was working, serving the Lord in this assembly. 60 years ago, you were there. And today, you are still here. Praise God. We treasure you. You are indispensable part of the body of Christ. And with this, I end. And we come forward to the next study on the woman at the well. The Lord bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the women whom Thou hast given to the assembly, to the world, for their service unto the Lord. Lord, Thou hast declared from the very beginning that the woman shall be the helpmate of every man. And we do pray that even as they play this role, they may be greatly blessed of Thee. We thank You for them. We treasure them. We treasure the mothers in this assembly. We treasure the wives in this assembly who have helped the men, the husband. We thank You for the daughters who have been faithful to the family members. We thank You for all of them, apart from the men who are with them. We thank You, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.